And now, another timely and powerful message from Pastor Emmanuel Williams and Imitators of God Ministries, Colossal Vivacious Church in Tallahassee.
Turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 6, and let's read verse 24 to 26. We've been looking at this particular text for the last three Sundays. And I need us to understand the depth of the sentiments of God this portion of scripture is communicating. Let me say that again. I need us to understand the depths of the sentiment of God this scripture is communicating. We said a few days ago that the Old Testament saints believed in the blessing. It is us who New Testament saints, sometimes, somewhere, somehow, we do not place a lot of value. We don't value the blessing given to the Old Testament saints, amen, as we should. The Bible tells us that in Genesis that after Adam and Eve disobeyed God, God cursed the earth. You remember that? He cursed the earth. He told Adam, this earth is going to be against you. By the sweat of your brow, you're going to eat. Before that, Adam had to just stretch and take a fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden. You remember that? That's all Adam had to do. I'm hungry, take a fruit. But after Adam's disobedience, sin came in, and the Lord placed an angel in front of the fruit of at the front of the tree of good and evil, knowledge of good and evil. Remember that? And all of a sudden, Adam could no longer stretch and take a fruit. He now had to earn his living by the sweat of his brow. And so because God's word never returns void, it's powerful, God decided to help human being, and he gave us an empowerment to prosper in the midst of that cursed environment. You get what I'm saying, saints? That is what we have today. And the way you release that power is by speaking. Hear me. Don't you worry with these brothers and sisters who speak about hyper-Pentecostals or hyper-charismatic. This is biblically sound knowledge. God gave a blessing. Are you with me? That is why we see in the Bible, we see Esau begging his father, "Don't you have a blessing for me, Dad? I know Jacob stole my blessing, but that's all you got?" We see what happened to Obed-Edom's house. When the ark was in his house, the Bible said God blessed Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom, at a minimum, at the time the Bible was written, had 62 men in his house, sons and grandsons. We are not talking about great grandsons, because God made his house fruitful. And all these men, the Bible says, they were mighty men of valor. We see Jabez asking God for the very same thing. Jabez said, Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Not bless me in the spirit. Are you getting me? What I'm saying, since we have help, but sometimes we refuse to depend on that help. It's me and my way, making my way out there in the world. No. Baby, you've got help. Sir, you've got help. Amen. And that's why I'm saying sometimes we New Testament Christians, we seem to have forgotten it, or if we do remember it, the value. The Old Testament saints long for that. And so right here we see God gave Moses a prayer to Aaron, a proclamation to say over his people. Are you getting me? Let me say the Lord, because the Bible says it's the Lord. Isn't it right there? Yeah. The Lord. The Lord gave him that. Amen. Can you back up to verse 23? This is no ordinary prayer. I just wanted to know that. It says, can you go back to verse 22? And the Lord spake unto Moses, and he told Moses, can you go to verse 23? He said to Moses, speak unto Aaron. What I'm telling you, tell it to Aaron. And this is what I'm telling you, tell him. on this is the way I want you to bless the children of Israel. And the way I want to do it is by saying something. Can you say something? Yeah, yeah, you've got to say something. I am taking my time to, visit, touch this, because I'm beginning to realize saying something once or twice is not enough. The mother of learning is what?
Repetition.
I mean, yesterday in the men's ministry, you know, we had a, how many of you would agree we had a wonderful time? Yes. Amen. I know the ladies had a wonderful time too, but we had almost 16 to 18 men. Amen. We had, the ladies said they had 20, 21. That's okay. But we had a good time and we had good food. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm believing God for the time when that IHOP room will be too small. I'm believing God for the time. Amen. But we were in there and Brother Woodley was talking about the importance to repeat the instructions. He said we have to learn to repeat the instructions. It's very important. Amen. So I'm repeating the instructions. He said follow the instructions and repeat the instructions. So I am following the instructions and I'm going to repeat the instruction. I want you to see how important this prayer is, because it is the same Lord who gave his 12 disciples the Lord's Prayer. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Amen. In the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6. So we see the Lord here is giving Moses a command to Aaron to speak over. And brothers and sisters, you know very well, God didn't have to do that. God doesn't need a man to speak over his people to protect his people. Are you getting away? I'm trying to bring to your attention the importance of speaking God's word. You know very well God didn't need Moses. When God took Israel from Pharaoh, there was no blessing spoken. Oh, glory be to God. Are you with me? He sent one man. He sent Moses. And Moses did his miracles. And then spoiled Egypt. 12 miracles. And then Pharaoh said, okay, let these people go because they're about to kill me. Pharaoh said, I'm tired. Amen. The economy is really bad in Egypt because of the Israelites. Pharaoh came out and he looked at Goshen. Goshen is prospering. Goshen is where the Israelites lived. Goshen, the sun is 85 degrees in Goshen. He looked over in Egypt, snow, hurricanes, cyclones, animals are dying everywhere. Pharaoh said, no, the economy in Egypt, you got to go, amen. God did not need a blessing to get his people out of Egypt. And so, but hear me carefully, saints. Because God hath said, in 1 Corinthians chapter, oh God help me, I know it's there somewhere. Can you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 3, I think. Is it 9 verse 3? Let me show you right here. Glory be to Jesus. It says that we are laborers together. That's what it says. I think you got it. No, it's somewhere here where it says we are laborers together with him. 3:9. I had it the other day. All right. 1 Corinthians 3:9. I want you to see what's happening here. God, the Bible says, for we are what?
Laborers.
Together with God. That's the principle. God is not going to do anything on the earth by himself. Are you getting what I'm saying? God has decided. That is how God's law is. That is how the kingdom of God is rigged. If I can use that word. The kingdom of God is so designed that you have to be an equal participant in your deliverance. That is how it is. So I'm not sure why people are saying otherwise. You and I have to be equal participants in our deliverance. You don't just sit there and say, well, God, it's on you. It is never on God. God said, it is finished. In other words, all the power you need to make your way prosperous in this life has been given to you. Do something with it. And don't be sitting there like me for years lazily expecting a boom from somewhere. You make the boom because you got boom in you. Anyhow. You know, I wish there were some things I knew when I just got saved. And I would have not been through the school of hard knocks. Well, the spiritual school of hard knocks. If only Mrs. Brown, I knew some things. If only they had said to me, this is a path to becoming like Jesus. This is the path right here. Oh, my life would have been easy. And if they said, here is the guarantee. Such and such went through it. And look at him now. Such and such went through it. And look at her now. Now I have irrefutable evidence that this path is the correct path to be like Jesus. Man, listen to me. I would dig my heels in. Lord, have mercy. I would never look back. But for many of us, that was not given. So we looked at the first phrase, Numbers chapter 6. We looked at the first phrase a week ago. The Lord bless thee. Anybody feel blessed in the house? Yes. Yeah. The Lord bless you. In other words, you have been given an empowerment to do what? Yes. The Lord bless you. Oh, hallelujah. What a blessing. And we traced from scripture how the blessing empowered the Old Testament saints, endowed them with power for prosperity and success. Amen. We traced that. You remember we did that? And so our text here says, the Lord spoke with Moses and said, verse 22, stay right there in our verse. And he said, say this over the Israelites. Verse 24, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be the Lord lift up his countenance upon and give what?
Peace.
You'll see there is one particular word. There is something in Bible study and it's called a keyword. Now a keyword is a word that just keeps showing up and showing up and showing up and showing up and showing up. If you look at these three verses, there is one major keyword in there, and that is the. The, which means that's something personal. The means what? You, not y'all. Are you with me? You, God is interested in blessing you individually. His focus is on you individually. Yeah, his focus is on everybody. But when it comes to your making your way, your advancement, when it comes to taking your stand in this life to live out where you were born, it is you and God. I'm telling you something, saying, you step out, leave the crowd and say, I'm going to live out where I was born. It is you and God, not you and your pastor. Can I make it plain? Not you and your pastor. It is you and who? But how I wish somebody had said that to me. Now, I'm not discounting pastors. Are you with me? The Bible says God has given them, the church pastors, Ephesians chapter 4, for the equipping of the saints. Can you say bless God for that? But with respect to living out your purpose, it is whom? You and God. It was Joshua got met by himself. And he said in Joshua 1:8, listen to me, Joshua was finally about to step into his calling. The reason why he was born. And God said to him, this book of the law. He said, yes. Oh God. He said, Joshua, you're going to now live out your purpose. The way you are going to live it out, there are some things that must be in order. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Yes, he said, but you shall what? Meditate. Damn night. Somebody said, God, do I have time to eat breakfast? Can I take a break? Can I go to the beach? No, he said, day and night. You see, the standard with God is always high, because he knows we're always looking for a shortcut. You see, if he says now and then, we'll never do anything. So he says day and night. Peradventure in there, you'll find some time. Can you say, keep the standard high? Oh, that's God. That's God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, you and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know, doing what God says to do, everybody can. Some of us just chose not to. Some of us do what? We chose not to. Because we have a will. Can you say, thank God for a will? Yeah, God gave you a will and you can exercise it however you want to. You can say, I'm going to do all of God or none of God. I'm going to do some of God or all of God. You have a will. I have a will. Amen. But I guarantee you, this is what I guarantee you. On the day of judgment, Christians won't be judged. So let me, when you're raptured and you stand up and you stand before God to be rewarded, I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of regrets. Let me say it in English. A lot of regrets. A lot of regrets. A lot of regrets. Man, if only I knew, I would have spent more time with the Lord. Well, I hate to bring the service to that part where everybody looks sad. No, everybody's going to be glad. Amen. So God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate day and night therein. Why? To observe. Yeah. You got to meditate therein day and night. And you know, before you meditate, you have to read and memorize. You cannot meditate what you've not read. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Amen. He said, no, there's a few things, amen, because many of us are still making our way prosperous. How many of you are interested in making your way prosperous? Yeah, making your way prosperous. That's what the blessing does. The blessings empower you. The empowerment to prosper, to make your way. To the word the word to make your way prosperous here means to push forward, to forge ahead, because there is resistance. How many of you feel the resistance? Talking about not only the resistance from without, resistance from within. Oh God, I give you praise. So he said, so we got some steps in there. This book of the law shall thou what? Shall not depart from your mouth. Can somebody say, speak the word only? That's all God telling him. That's all God is saying. Just speak the word only. Yeah, you see your circumstances. Amen. Speak the word only. My wife and I, this morning, before we came here, she said something to me. And I said something I shouldn't say. And she said, you like to worry too much. And she has a point here. Because she knows me. Amen. We've known each other for a long time. And sometimes you try to mask it and say, no, it's just concern. She said, it's worry. Yeah. So, she. But thou shalt meditate in the word of God when? Here is why you do that. That you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. You've got to observe the material. You've got to get the material in. Spend some time to observe it. One thing I do sometimes when I'm in God's word, I look at the word and I prepare and I read it from 5 or 6 different versions, and I go in a corner and I just observe. Glory be to God. Just observe it. I just praise God. Amen. Just observing the word. Amen. Just seeing it from my mind's eye. Seeing myself doing what it's doing. What it says. I get what I'm saying. Just seeing myself doing that's you may observe to do according to all that is written. For when? Then. You shall do what? Notice who's making their way. For then, it says, for then shall God make your way prosperous. No. It says you. since you are a laborer together with God, you have to make a way prosperous. You have to get up and shake yourself and wipe your tears from your eyes. Are you getting what I'm saying, saints? I'm telling you for real. You got to get up and wipe your tears from your eyes and say, look, God is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Ah, somebody, are you getting me? And then you got to open up your mouth and speak. Can you say, speak to yourself? Yeah, you got to speak to yourself. You got to speak to yourself the word only. Mm-hmm. When the devil tell you these Christians, they don't care. No, that's not true. Mm-hmm. Look, everybody has their battle to fight. Well, everybody has their what? Yeah. And don't let the devil tell you, no, it is you and God. The Lord bless thee. The Lord has empowered thee to make your way prosperous. My God. And so you will have good success. Can you say good success?
Good success.
Yeah, that's what God does. Good success and making your way prosperous is a given. If you do the first part is if you speak the word only and you meditate on God's word. The word meditate means to mutter softly, but more importantly, it means to toss in one's mind. It means to wrestle with the word. It means to give your mind something to wrestle with before you go to bed. Mm-hmm. So you give your mind the scripture and the mind doesn't sleep. You give your mind something, it's like giving a dog a bone. I tell you, your mind is going to wrestle and then gives the answer. One of the last things I do before I go to bed, I take a scripture and I say, God, I've been trying to understand this scripture for years. I'm going to give that over to my mind. And I say, mind, you got work to do. I'm going to bed. You work it out. Mm-hmm. You were born to do that, to give me an answer. Yes. And the Bible says, when you do that, you shall make your way prosperous and you shall have what? Good success. So good success is not elusive. Hello. It means you and I, we haven't done the first three things. Let me share something. Let me share something with you, brothers and sisters. I'm sometimes you come here with a sermon. I have 12 pages there. But I am feeling something. And I'm tempted to go somewhere. You hear me? I think because of the time we are living in, and we Christians, let me share with you where we Christians are. We have omitted to do the little things. And because we've omitted to do the little things, it is now affecting us. And then we're asking, where is God? You see, the little things we ignore to put in place, we did not take the time to put the pieces of the puzzle together. Therefore, we don't have the right picture. And we're still asking for the picture, not realizing we need to go back to the puzzle. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why I tell you, as I get old and I speak with people, and I thank God for everybody who calls and talks. Man, it's a blessing. I see myself. I see the mistakes I made. There is a verse that's, I know many of us, we've come across it. I want to reintroduce. Can you say reintroduce? Because there is nothing new under the sun. Reintroduce that verse to you as 2024 unfolds. Colossians chapter 1. Is it Colossians? I think Colossians chapter 16, is it? No. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16. It says, let the word, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. How? Colossians 3 verse 16, yes. It says, and listen, saints, the suggested subject verb is you. Let the word of God. The you is not there, but you got to put the you in there mentally. You and I have to do what? Let the word of Christ dwell in you. How?
Richly.
How? Richly. Uh-huh. Not just a little dab will do you. Right, Mr. Grover? No. A little dab won't do you when it comes to making your way prosperous and experiencing good success. A little dab will not do you. Let me tell you why, since. Can I be honest with you? Let me share with you the problem in Christendom, and we can just pack up and go home. Here's the problem in Christendom. Are you ready? Praise the Lord. My wife said, I've been ready. The problem is, we are looking for everything else except Christ. Hold on. We are looking for prosperity. Mm-hmm. We are looking for popularity. We are looking for a title. Mm-hmm. We are looking to be accepted, not realizing all that comes from God. Prosperity, one night, one idea can make you a millionaire. Are you with me? One night, one second, one idea. But what we fail to pursue is becoming like Jesus. That's where our failure is. We pursue everything else except becoming like Jesus. And that is why there's so much sorrow and problems and pain, because the desires that's in our hearts, God put them there. But you are getting squat until you become like Jesus. Well, I shouldn't. That's not proper English, right? That's, excuse my vernacular. Amen. You only qualify for things of God when you get like Jesus, because now you can use it to glorify God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Oh, glory be to God. So first, we have to let the word of God dwell in us richly. Uh-huh. Rich, how?
Richly.
Oh, can somebody say just pouring over? Just pouring over. Can you say pouring over? You know, 8 years ago, I advocate reading one proverb and five psalms. You know, Elder Bello told us yesterday in the men's ministry, he began doing that, and that it's changing his life. Amen. It's what? Changing his life. Amen. That's what he said to us. Next year, we'll ask his wife if that's the truth. But at least. Praise the Lord. Can you say thank God for wives? Thank God for husbands. Oh, we always tell the truth on one another. Amen. Praise the Lord. Even if it's quietly, praise God. We support one another in public. I don't want it to look bad. But at the coffee table, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Tell somebody it's all good. You know, one of these days, all that will be over. One of these days, we'll be with Jesus Christ. And the things that matter on earth will matter no more. Can you just smile? God, we thank you. At least there is a day of rest coming. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. And so, brothers and sisters, we are told here that we must allow the word of God to dwell in us richly. Uh-huh. How? Richly. There is more in all wisdom, teaching, and understanding. That's what happens when the word of God first dwells in you. You have to sow the seed in. The kingdom of God is like a farmer sowing seeds. You are the farmer over your heart. Not only a preacher. Amen? So you sow the seeds of God's word. You know, a pastor said to me a long time ago, he said, Emmanuel, do you know change is effortless? I never understood. He said, change is effortless. In 2022, the phrase Googled the most is, can I change? Can I change? People out there are crying for change. They look at themselves in the mirror and they are ashamed of what they see. Can you say they call it the, oh God, I give you praise. The imposter syndrome. You just defeating yourself in the mirror. The devil is bringing up every mess in your life. Every mistake you've made. Are you with me? And then shame comes, and all of a sudden guilt comes. And then he says, commit suicide. Because he's a killer. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and to what? That's what he does. He tries everybody. He's just trying everybody. He's just sending to listen to me. He's sending to Christians. He's sending to pastors. He's sending to kids. He's just sending it out there. Because his goal is to kill somebody. That's it. And if you and I do not open up our mouth, 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, submit yourself to God. Do you know what submit yourself to God means? To do what God's word telling you to do now. Let the word dwell in you richly. So when the devil comes, the Holy Ghost will bring it up and you will release it. And he has no choice but to run like a puppy. You see, many of us, we are not humbling ourselves. We are not taking it in now. We are not taking it in. Can you say not taking it in? We're not. Because we think, we think that it's not as important. You know? But let me share with you. Let me share with you this right here. Hear me. Your success laterally is dependent on your growth vertically. Your success laterally as a child of God is dependent on your growth vertically. Are you getting what I'm saying, saints? These are things we cannot forget. Yes, we've got things to do. Anyhow. You see, all week I've been talking to brothers and sisters, amen? And I'm beginning to realize where we are as a church. And saints, we need to be spiritually fortified because the world is coming to an end. Listen. God forbid another like COVID comes our way. Are you getting what I'm saying, saints? That is why we need to understand God's sentiment communicated in the text we are dealing with now. When the Bible says the Lord bless me, it means that I have been empowered. I have been given something I can depend on that the unbelievers do not have. Yeah, I may look like unbelievers. Amen. I may walk with them. But brother, I am God's property. And it's not based on whether or not I have money. It's not based on whether or not I live. It's not based on who are my friends, where I live, what job, my education. No, it's based on the truth that you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's it. Anybody has accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior? Yes. If you do, you have that power. And the reason why sometimes we don't feel it. Can you say don't feel it? Don't feel it. The reason why we don't feel it pulsating through our veins is because the word of God is not dwelling in us richly. Yeah. That's why. Because we are not on overload. When you're on overload in God's word, you feel everything. You feel God. God is speaking to you. You hear God. You know what to do. He alerts you what's coming down the road. I was listening to a pastor, and he said to me, he was driving, just testifying. And he said he was about to take a bend in the road, and the Holy Ghost said to him, stop. Well, he just stopped because God said to him, stop. And he said, all of a sudden he stopped, and he saw a football just run across his vehicle. He stopped, and then five kids running after the football. If this man had not stopped, according to God, he would have killed five kids. How is it possible that God talks to somebody and life is saved, and it appears like he doesn't talk to anybody else? God speaks to everybody. Some of us are not spiritually tuned in. Can you say God is always speaking? Every radio station is always on, isn't it? Isn't that true? You have to tune in. But if you're not tuning, does it mean it's off? No. That's it. You're just not tuned in. Can you say we need to tune in? You tune in when the Word of God dwells in you richly. Tell your neighbor, stop living on the edge. Yeah, stop. Yeah, get in the center. Get involved. Get involved. Yeah, get involved. Amen. Say what? Get involved. Get involved. The Lord bless you. And what? Keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you. Who is doing the blessing? Huh? No, no, that's something else. Minister Dean, thank you for saying that. Because that is something else the Lord has been dealing with me. I was looking at the text last night, and for some reason I keep saying the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Can you say the Lord? The Lord. And I kept saying, that's God, that's God, that's God. Praise God. And the Holy Ghost said to me, who is doing the blessing, Emmanuel? And I kept saying, it's God. And it just kept, just like that, it came to me. Just like that. I kept teaching it all the time, but sometimes you forget. And I'm saying that because I'm going to make a point here, and hopefully you get it, and your Christian life will come alive. It is, Jesus said to the Pharisees, let me show this to you right here. Jesus said to the Pharisees, since I guarantee you, praise God, I guarantee you, I'll put that in a book one day, amen? Jesus said to the Pharisees in John chapter 39, can you go to John chapter 5, verse 39, quickly. I'm about to make a point here. John chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus said, you search the scriptures, for in the scriptures you think you have what? And they, who the they he's talking about? The scriptures are they, which what? The Pharisees, like many of us, in the scriptures looking for God and not for Jesus. So when the Bible says, the Lord bless thee, who is it talking about? Oh, now you get it. The Lord Jesus bless you. No, you say, Emmanuel, how are you talking about? What are you talking about? What do you mean it's the Lord Jesus? Long before the New Testament was written, the Pharisees in John chapter 5, verse 39, John told them, listen to me, all they had was the Pentateuch. Can you say the Pentateuch? All they had was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Jesus tell them, you're looking in these five books because you think they have eternal life. But these five books, they testify. Oh, glory. Are you getting me, brothers and sisters? I need you to understand that. You see, hear me out. When Saul was thrown off his horse on the road to Damascus because of the blinding light, Saul fell to the ground and he said, a voice came, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, who are you, Lord? And a voice came and said, I am God Almighty. That's what the voice said, right? What did the voice say? I am whom? Jesus. I am Lord. You just said, who are you, Lord? The Lord answered. I'm trying to share. And this is why I'm telling you that. If you don't get that, your Christian life is going to be dry. It's going to be stagnant and stale. Because the Bible says, he that have the Son have life. Life here means purpose, energy, oh, strength, happiness. Some Christians, some of us are just existing because we haven't identified the Jesus in the Bible. We are still after God. When Thomas, I'm sharing something, you know, when Thomas missed Jesus after his appearance, you remember that? That day when the door was closed and all of a sudden Jesus just stepped in the room. He just went through the wall. Yes. And he said, Thomas, can you stretch forth your right hand and insert it into the hole in my right hand? He said, Thomas, give me your left hand. Insert it into the hole on my right side. Thomas testified, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, I'm not God. I'm not Lord. I need you to be quiet. Did he say that? No. Oh, when Thomas said, my Lord and my God, Jesus said, attaboy, now you're getting it. finally. Oh, you miss the Lord Jesus in the Bible. Your Christian life will be stagnant. I'm trying to, didn't I tell you I wish there were some things that I knew when I got saved? Some things I just wish I knew. Somebody didn't tell me. And so that is why we are where we are now. And brothers and sisters, now is the time. Can you say now is the time? To make up for the shortfall. Now is the time. You see, now we still have time before another like COVID hit. Now is the time. Because you'll hear me. Let me tell how important what I'm saying there is. When you know that God has blessed you, and you know you've been empowered to prosper, and something else like COVID comes, you know what you got. You know you can say something. Come on, somebody. You know you've been empowered. It doesn't mean you might not get concerned. It doesn't mean that you go mingle with everybody. But you know what you have. And you begin to walk in the knowledge of what you have. or maybe not. Yes, you see, that's what I'm saying. Now we have to make up for the shortfall because the world is dying. Jesus said in Mark 13:31, heaven and earth shall pass away. But my words, he's saying that because he knows the earth was cursed and the curse has not been reversed. The earth is dying. Hello? Tell your neighbor, the earth is dying. Yeah, and it will die. It doesn't matter how much they talk about Mother Earth and trying to preserve and conserve. God's word never returns void. It never returns void. The earth is dying because God cursed it. And he gave us the blessing to make our way through. Not only did he say, the Lord bless you. How many more minutes I have? I'm going for 45 minutes. Yeah, that's not fair. You think I got five more? The other phrase says this right here. Not only the Lord bless you, but the Lord what? Keep you. Now, I told you the last time that I was going to give you a confession as to what the Bible means when the Bible says the Lord bless you. Can I give you that confession quickly? So you can know, brothers and sisters, and I'll for adventure one, they get these and have it available to you, to your email. When the Bible, when Aaron, can you say Aaron? Aaron? When Aaron the priest stood over the Israelites and he says, the Lord bless you. This is what he was saying, and I need you to get it, because whenever we say it in this church, I need you to understand what is being said. And not only God wasn't the one, excuse me, God was the one who came up with it. The Lord Jesus came up with it. It wasn't Congress. Amen. It wasn't the governor of Florida. Amen. Thank God for him. But it was the Lord. Amen. How many of you, it's okay to say amen. If I say, listen to me, if I say thank God for any politician, it's okay to say amen. Amen. The politician can be Democrat or Republican. Amen. Or whatever. Just say amen. That's okay. It is okay. Somebody, I'm not saying that because I'm this. You're a Christian first. And God loves everybody. You're a Christian one? This is what, when I give you that confession, I'm done. This is what's meant when Aaron says, and when you say, And when I say the Lord bless me, this is what it means. It means the Lord Jesus, my God, has blessed me indeed and enlarged my course. It means his hands are with me. It means the Lord Jesus provides all the necessities of life for me. Food, clothing, and shelter. It means the Lord shall open unto me his good treasures. The Lord has blessed all the works of my hands. It means I will prosper and be in health even as my soul prospers. It means I have been empowered to succeed. It means I will make my way prosperous. Look, it means I'm guarded, protected, and attended to by our Lord Jesus Christ. It means that my name is engraved on the palm of Jesus' hand beyond the reach of the enemy. It means a fortress surrounds me and I am protected from loss and injury. It means I'm fulfilled and satisfied in all that I undertake to do in Jesus' name. Yes, that's what it means. The Lord bless you. Can somebody say, thank you, Lord, for the blessing? Hallelujah. Next week, we'll do phrase number two. The Lord keep you. Oh, you don't want to miss that. That word keep here is Shammah. Can somebody say Jehovah Shammah? The Lord who is there. Can you say the Lord who's what? Always there. Whether or not you feel him, he's always there.
Please take time to meditate on the Word and let it sink into your heart and soul and mind today. Knowing that the Christian who meditates on the Word will be like a tree planted by the water, bringing forth fruit in its season and prospering in all that he does. But what if you aren't a Christian today? What if you don't know if you're bound for heaven as a forgiven child of God? If that's you, then let's take care of it right now if you're ready. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Are you ready to be forgiven of your sins and washed clean and made new? Are you ready to begin your new life in Christ? Then turn to God right now and say, Lord, I love you. I need you. I repent of my sins. Lord, please forgive me and wash me clean. I receive your forgiveness right now as I put my faith in Jesus as my Savior. God, please lead me and teach me and show me how to live from now on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And if you're looking for a good church family, you'll be welcomed with open arms at Imitators of God Ministries, Colossal Vivacious Church in Tallahassee, located at 4750 Capitol Circle Southeast near Tram Road. Sunday school begins for all ages at 10 a.m. and the morning service begins at 11. And the Wednesday evening service begins at 7. This is a life-giving, multicultural, multi-generational church where people of all races, backgrounds, and walks of life come together to worship, to be inspired in their love for God, to develop relationships, and to be empowered to live out God's purpose for their lives. Find more information on their website, imitatorsofgodministries.com, or call the church, 850-408-8496.